Hello, friends, and welcome to Revelation. This is the classroom of the air, bringing you truth for today. I'm so blessed to have you with me today as we study the Word of God. This is a great day for you to tune in with me, as today we're beginning a new teaching series called Work Matters. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to study what God's Word says about work. Now, I know some of you may be surprised this morning when you hear that I'm talking about work matters. You may have never heard a message from the Bible about work before. In fact, you may even think that work is evil and that it comes from the devil, and we shouldn't even be preaching about jobs in the church. Well, the fact is, a lot of us don't think God has anything to do with our workplace. We tend to cut God out of our jobs and don't ever really consider if God has anything to say to us about our work. And see, this is one of the problems in the church today. We compartmentalize our lives. We have our social life, our work life, and our church life, and we keep them separate. We don't mix them. At church, we shout, "Praise the Lord," and jump and shout. But at work, we behave completely differently, and we talk differently. And then our social life is completely separate from the other two. But God's plan for your life is a good one. It's a plan that covers every area of life. He doesn't just want to bless you at church and then ignore you the rest of the week. He wants to bless you at work, in your relationships, at home, and in every area of life. If you'll only obey Him and follow His Word, you can be blessed everywhere at any time. If you believe it, say amen. And when you think about it, work is a big part of our lives. If you're having trouble at work, it can affect every other area of your life. And let's just think about the time we spend at work. If you work 40 hours every week for 46 weeks a year for about 40 years, you're going to end up spending 73,600 hours of your life working. That's a big part of your life. I mean, we spend more time at work than we do at church. We spend more time at work than we do eating. Well, at least most of us. We spend more time at work than in school. We spend more time at work than watching TV. We even spend more time at work than almost anything except sleeping. And some of you sleep at work, so that doesn't count. When you think about it, friends, how can you spend such a big part of your life working and then think that God doesn't care about your job? In fact, the Bible tells us plainly that God wants to be involved in your work. Work matters because it matters to God. That's our scripture text found in Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. May God bless the reading of His Word to your heart today in Jesus' name. You know, I think these are powerful verses from Colossians 3, and in them we can see three truths about work. And here's the first one. We've got to have God's perspective of work. Another way to say this is that you have to discover a biblical view for your job. Listen carefully and underline these words in your Bible from Colossians 3. Whatever you do, work at it as working for the Lord. You see, friend, God sees our work not just as a job, but as service to Him. That's why the last line of verse 24 says, "It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Now, that's a far different view than what most people have about work. Most people have a worldly view of work. We think of work as an unpleasant necessity in life, or we might look at it as something to avoid. We see work as something we do just to get money. But interestingly enough, God sees work completely differently. God sees every job in every place as service to Him. And if you want to be blessed in your work, you've got to begin to have God's perspective. In fact, you have to follow His example at work. For the truth is, God Himself works. That's right. God works. Listen to Genesis 2, 2 and 3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. Everybody say work. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. Everybody say work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. Everybody say, work. Did you notice something in these verses? The word work is used three times to describe what God did. He worked. So think about it for a moment, friend. If the purpose of work is just to earn a living, then why would God work? He doesn't need money or a pay packet. And if work is something unpleasant to avoid, why would God work? And if work is something to get rid of, why would God work? The fact is, work is good, and God works because work is good. It exists so that God and man can accomplish something good together. Listen to what else these verses say. The Bible tells us that God worked and rested. He rested on the seventh day, meaning he took one day to rest. It doesn't say he rested forever. It doesn't say he worked 6 days and then retired. God is working today. In fact, he's working here right now. God works. And that brings us to the second truth about work that we need to know today. Work is not a curse. If God works, then work cannot be a curse. Listen to Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. The Bible tells us plainly that when God created Adam, the first thing he did was to put Adam in the garden and give him a job. He put him there to work. In fact, God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. Adam got his job in Genesis 2:15, and he got his wife in Genesis 2:18. So go and think about that. You see, many people mistakenly think that work is part of the curse. They think that Adam and Eve were just relaxing in the Garden of Eden on a perpetual honeymoon, eating and drinking and playing, and then when they fell into sin, God placed a curse on them, and after that time, they had to go to work. But that's not true. God gave them work before they fell into sin, before they were cursed. He put them in the garden to work. And God's plan for man to work didn't end in the Garden of Eden. In Exodus 20, verse 9, God commands us, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. It doesn't say you may work if you wish. It doesn't say work if you feel like it. Work is part of God's plan for man. From Adam till now, God tells man to work. The sad fact is, human nature outside of Christ tends to be lazy. We try to get away with as little work as possible. Many of us don't like to work. If we could avoid it, we would. But the fact is this, refusing to work is sin. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 3, 6-15. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they receive from us. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. Wow! Did you hear that? God commands us to avoid idle Christians. He commands us that if we don't work, we should not eat. He commands us to work and earn a living 3 times. God commands us about work. So stop making excuses. Stop being lazy. Stop begging from other people and start working. I didn't say it. God said it. I didn't write the Bible. God did. You see, there were many applicants and unemployed in the days of Jesus, but he didn't call any of them. He called only those who were already working. New opportunities will come to you when you're already busy, not when you're sitting around dreaming about it. And here's a key truth you need to know. Don't worry about finding the right job. Concern yourself with being the right person for the job, and the jobs will find you. Christians today need to have a transformation in our thinking about work. If you think work is part of the curse, you'll be lazy and avoid it at every chance you get. You'll refuse to work. You'll look down on work. If you view work simply as a way to make money so you can eat, you'll always be looking for a different work with a better pay. Some of you are like this. You've been at 5 jobs in the last 6 months because anytime someone offers you 2 CDs more than what you're getting, you run and change your job. But if you view work as God views it, you'll understand that it's part of His plan for your life. It's not a curse. It's a gift from God. If you view work as God views it, you'll understand that it's not just a job. It's more than a way to make money. Your job is more than just an income-generating activity. If you see work from God's view, you'll discover that work is a calling. So here's a definition of work. Work is a gift from God for the fulfillment, satisfaction, significance, and provision of man. That's God's view of work. And when you get that, it will lead you to discover our second truth today. And here it is. God's promise for my work. You see, because God is involved in your work, He has a plan to bless it. Because your work is something He wants you to do, He promises a blessing when you do it well. God promises to bless the work of our hands, as it says in Deuteronomy 28:12. The Lord will bless all the work of your hands. And then in chapter 30, verse 9, it says, the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands. God sent me here to tell you today that He wants to bless your work. He wants to bless the work of your hands. He's a promise for each and every one of us. If we will simply honor Him, He will bless us. If we will commit our work into His hands, He will bless the work of our hands. Somebody say amen. You may be here today and you say, oh, but Reverend, my work is not a blessing at all. I'm miserable at my job. I get up every morning wishing I didn't have to go to work. But friend, that is not God's will for your life. God wants to bless the work of your hands and make your hands a blessing. He wants your work to bring you fulfillment, satisfaction, significance, and provision. The problem is you need to get your work redeemed from the curse. To get blessed in the work of your hands, you have to break the curse from off your work. For you see, when God gave man work in the Garden of Eden, that work was a blessing. But when man fell into sin, man's work was put under a curse. He would now have to work with the sweat and sorrow and difficulty. Thorns and weeds would make his work hard, and the ground would not yield as before. Listen to Genesis 3:17 to 19. The ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. And the thing that God meant for good became a curse. And a lot of us are still stuck under the curse. Our work has not yet been redeemed. But if you get God's grace back into your work today, it will be redeemed. You see, under the curse, work is hard. It doesn't produce for us what God intended. Work under the curse brings frustration, for the Bible says you'll scratch out a living. It brings sorrow, which is thorns and thistles. It will bring striving, which means you work by the sweat of your brow. It will bring poverty, for the Bible says it's the dust that you came from that you will go back into. But God wants to redeem your work. He wants to bring it out from under the curse. And freedom from the curse doesn't mean you won't have to work. It simply means your work will once again be fulfilling. It means work will be rewarding and it will be a blessing, not a curse. So here's the fact you need to know today. It doesn't matter what job you have. It matters that you have God's blessing on that job. Many today say, oh, if I could only get a better job, if I could work over there, or if I could work in the U.S., if I could get a promotion or get more money, then I would be blessed and happy. But if you get the perfect job, but it's not in God's plan, you won't find fulfillment and satisfaction. If you get that promotion, but it's not blessed by God, you won't find the significance you're searching for. If you go to US or UK, but God's not in it, you won't be blessed. What you need is to bring your work under God's authority. For man's work was cursed when it was removed from God's authority. When man rebelled against God and went his own way, that was when his work was cursed. And the same thing is true in your life. When you decide to follow your own way and not God's way, your work will be frustrating. If you push God out of your work will always be under curse. It will be sweated and frustration. You may have a good salary, but it won't yield what you need. You'll scratch a living with the sweat of your brow, and in the end, it will all end up as dust and ashes. So come under God's authority. Submit to His will and plan for your work, and you will be blessed. The little work you do will produce more fulfillment, satisfaction, significance, and provision with God than the big work you do without Him. You can be more blessed with God in a lower paying job than you can be without God in a higher paying job. This is the problem for many Christians today. We base our work decisions and career decisions on what we think will produce for us. But we fail to realize that the only way our work can be blessed is when it is redeemed by Jesus Christ. That's why you can't just look at the money at work. You have to look at what God is doing in your life. Listen, friends, money and career advancement cannot be the determining factor in your choice of job or career. You have to honor God. His promise of blessing the work of your hands is made to those who honor and obey Him. So don't let worldly values pressure you into the wrong job. You may be in a certain position because it pays well, but is that where God wants you? Is it the best place for your gifts and talents? Reminds me of the story of a man one time whose life was all messed up. He was in trouble. His marriage was in trouble. His kids were in trouble. But then he gave his life to Christ at a certain church. And the church began discipling this man, and his life was changed. His marriage was restored. His kids got saved and started following Christ. Everything about this man and his family was better. A few years afterwards, when the man was really growing in Christ, he received a job offer in another city. It offered him more money and a better position. And without even praying, he took that job and moved away from his church. Well, years went past. And because he lost the fellowship of the church that he'd gotten saved at, his life started going down. His family went down. His kids went astray. And years later, he went back to the church where he got saved. And he remembered where he had come from. And he remembered what he paid to leave that church and find a better job. He found a better job, all right, but he'd lost a better life. He saved his career, but he lost his family. But friends, you don't need to be like that man. When you honor God and put Him first in all your work matters, then He will bless you. It may not make sense to others, but God knows what He's doing. For true Christians, there is no such thing as just a job. You are called to serve Jesus in all things at all times. Put God and His kingdom first, and when you do, your work forms a part of service to the Lord. That's what a man named Truett Cathy discovered. In 1967, Cathy founded and opened a quick-serve chicken restaurant named Chick-fil-A. Cathy decided that he would build his business on God, so he made it a rule in all his restaurants that they must close on Sundays to allow the staff to go to church. People told Cathy, "You're crazy," they said. "How will you compete when all the other restaurants are open on Sunday and you're closed?" But Cathy stood his ground. And God blessed his business. Today, Chick-fil-A is the second largest quick-serve chicken restaurant chain in the United States. There are more than 1,605 Chick-fil-A restaurants. Chick-fil-A has an unparalleled record of 44 consecutive years of annual sales increases. For God promises to bless the work of your hands. And when you honor Him, He's going to prosper you and promote you and use you as you follow Him. But here's the most amazing fact. His promises are not just temporal, not just for promotion and salary increment. His promises are even greater than that. He promises an eternal reward for your work. Well, you may not believe it. You may be shocked. You may have never heard this before. But God promises not only to bless the work of your hands on earth with prosperity, but He also promises to give you an eternal reward for your earthly work when you do it for His glory. God promises to reward our work, as it says in Colossians 3 again, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know," here we go, "that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Isn't that amazing? You have to get this down in your heart today because it will transform the way you work. It will change everything about your job when you realize it's not just a job. It's a spiritual act of worship to Jesus. When you work for the Lord with all your heart, you will receive an eternal reward in heaven. So the only determining factor is that you work with your heart as unto Jesus. When you do that, you will be blessed here and blessed in heaven. When Jesus is your boss and you work wholeheartedly for Him, you have an inheritance, an eternal reward for your earthly work. Do you know when we get to heaven, we will be rewarded for everything we did for the glory of God and in obedience to Him? That's why it's not just a job. No matter what your work, when you do it for God's glory, you will be eternally rewarded. Sweeping the floor at the factory receives a heavenly reward because it's a spiritual act of worship when it's done for God's glory. Selling mango in the market receives a heavenly reward as a spiritual act of worship when it's done for the glory of Jesus in obedience to Him. Even simple acts become acts of worship when they're done for God's glory out of love. That's why Jesus Himself said in Mark 9:41, "If anyone gives you even a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, I tell you the truth, that person will surely be rewarded." A simple act of service, giving a cup of water, results in a heavenly reward from God. When you serve the Lord, He promises to reward you now. It doesn't say you have to preach to be rewarded. It doesn't say you have to prophesy to be rewarded. It doesn't say you have to go as a missionary to be rewarded. Anything, even giving a cup of cold water, will be rewarded when done for Christ. And that includes your job at work. If you get up on Monday morning and dedicate your work to God and say, "Dear Jesus, today I'm going to work for You. Everything I do today, I do it for You. You are my boss. I'm serving You. Bless the work of my hands and help me to work wholeheartedly for You." Then God sees your work as service to Him. He will view your job as not just a job, but as ministry. And He promises to help you and bless you and reward you for it. And so it is for all of us. God will bless you at church, but how you behave Monday through Friday at work has greater impact on your life than you realize. Your conduct and character at work will impact your life because it's not just a job. He'll bless the work of your hands, the Bible says. He will reward you eternally for earthly work done out of a devotion to Him. So what does this mean for you today? It means this. This is our third truth. I must pursue God's plan for my work. Listen to Colossians 3:17. The Bible says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." I am challenging you to take a new step today. I'm promising you that your life will be transformed if you obey God's word and honor Him at your work. If you will pursue God's plan for your career, you're going to see amazing blessings on your work. Begin by seeing work as God sees it, a gift from Him to bring fulfillment, satisfaction, significance, and provision to your life. Then dedicate your work to God. Let Him redeem your work by bringing His grace and presence to your job. Commit all you do, every act, every job, every day, to God for His glory. Serve Him at your job. Let Jesus be your boss. Do all you do for Him and His glory. And God will bless your work and take you to a new realm of greatness in Him. As we close today, listen to these two verses from Romans 12. First, verse 1, "Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. This is the true worship that you should offer." And then verse 11 says, "Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically." Any job you have, I don't care what you're doing right now. You may need to get out of it eventually, but whatever you're doing right now, any job can be turned into worship when you model Christ's love in it to your coworkers, to your clients, and to your customers. Let Jesus be the boss of your life and of your job, and He will bless you. Amen and amen. Well, I'm so glad we've had this great time together today. And I want to encourage you to tune in again next week at the same time, on the same day, for this very station, as we continue our teaching series, Work Matters. We're going to see next week how you've got to do business with God, and when you do, it will take you to amazing new heights. Now may God in His love be with you as you continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Until next week, may God bless you, and goodbye for now.